Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We've got an update here on what you guys talked about last night, Mark. The big news that arguably has got to be at least some sort of a factor in why the Bitcoin price has been on a constant uptick this week, and that is that PayPal has made the announcement that they are going to be integrating Bitcoin and some other cryptocurrencies into its massive global payment platform. I mean, do we have to explain to anyone in our audience what PayPal is? I mean, this is a company that's now been around for something like 23 or something years. It's been around for a long time.
It's a payment system the size of three pregnant watermelons. Just a huge monster payment system.
I think that there's, you know, probably a handful of people that don't understand PayPal.
Yeah. But if you've never been on the internet, maybe you don't know.
Right.
And there are those people.
Essentially, it's internet banking. It allows you to send money to other people.
Although I don't think PayPal has ever actually gotten whatever banking permit. Like, PayPal doesn't operate as a bank per se, in that they don't offer like checking accounts. They don't offer your typical banking products.
And they don't hold reserves. They're a money transmitter, I believe.
Well, they're definitely a money transmitter.
Yeah.
I suspect they certainly are holding money for people, right? You want to talk about a compliant company? That is PayPal. I mean, they are doing business not just with the U.S. banking system, but they're also doing business in I don't know how many other countries. It's got to be dozens more. I have sent PayPal transactions to people in other parts of the world, and they don't have U.S. bank accounts. So presumably that means that PayPal is able to interface with, you know, the European banking system, the Asian banking systems. And so that I mean, just to do that with the U.S. banking system requires a tremendous level of obedience to the state and to the, you know, government regulations. But they're doing it all over the world. So, I mean, just this is an incredibly compliant company. And the idea that they would just jump on board with Bitcoin was very exciting for people, because as much as those of us in the real cryptocurrency world, those of us who've been into the cryptocurrency world for years and understand and appreciate the independence that it can bring, and the idea that having your own wallet and having control, 100% control over your money, meaning that you hold the keys to access your cryptocurrency online, we know how it really ought to be done. But we can also, I think, see, and I don't want to speak for you guys, but I'm just generally saying this, I think we can also see the value in companies like PayPal or Square, which entered into Bitcoin, I think, 2 or 3 years ago at this point, and turned a large audience of people that otherwise maybe weren't familiar with Bitcoin onto it. The news story I brought in tonight to talk about is regarding how Bitcoin this year, 2020, has outperformed everything. Amazon, Apple, Facebook, yeah. Google, all these mega corporations that everybody thinks is just, you know, the way to make money. Well, maybe cryptocurrency is going to do better than all of them.
Yeah, that's possible. I do want to address that because I've certainly been keeping a close eye on it. When you think about, so there's other years when cryptocurrency hasn't done that well against
stocks.
No
doubt. But over time, it's done much better.
And obviously, you get to pick your stocks and you can make a better story. But this year, investors tend to be rather skeptical that the bull market that went on for, well, the longest in history up to this point is somehow going to manage to not just recover, and it did recover to some extent, but not just recover, but continue on running. Like, they just, you know, business has stopped around the world, and surely it's affected stock prices. So if you decide that stocks aren't the place to be, well, then where are you going to be? Real estate's been destroyed by rapacious, at least in the United States, by rapacious governments that are looking to get more and more tax revenue.
I think that the people who mistake Bitcoin for being the whole crypto world are going to pay a terrible reckoning one day.
I tend to think that there will come a time when Bitcoin has outlived its technological advance, I mean, in the same way that
today it costs $4 for me to send a Bitcoin transaction in the second block. So right. Not the first block, which would be as quickly as possible, but almost as quickly as possible.
The Model T was a really good car for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was the only one.
Yeah.
It was the best car. It was
and the worst.
It was the first car made on an assembly line. There were lots of cars that were sort of handmade.
That's right. There were
good point.
But it, there was a time when a Model T made a lot of sense for a lot of people. But then better things came out, and you know, I don't know. At some point, it seems like the way that the BTC Bitcoin people make decisions that they're not going to move forward because they're talking about technological advances. They're proposing technological advances, but it's just vaporware at this point.
Mm-hmm. There was a time when PayPal was a young, nimble, up and coming,
and they provided a lot of financial freedom to people.
Yeah.
There was a time I was young and nimble too.
But you didn't sell out. Nobody. That's the difference.
No, I burned out.
And PayPal is selling out big time because they are not only going to be controlling the private keys behind whatever cryptocurrencies are associated with your PayPal account, they're going to have control over, as you would expect. That's not a surprise. But the real shocker is that, according to Decrypt.co, early users of the system have discovered that the crypto in your account at PayPal cannot be transferred to other accounts on or off of PayPal.
Wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah. So if I pay you, Mark, and you've got a PayPal account, and I'm your customer, and I'm buying something from you on your website or whatever, and I pay you with Bitcoin, PayPal may show you, and again, I haven't used the system yet, right? None of us have. But some people apparently have gotten a peek at it or whatever. PayPal will show you perhaps a balance of Bitcoin, unless you've told it to always convert it to dollars or however they end up setting this up.
Sure.
But you may be able to hold a balance in Bitcoin, and that's all you'll be able to do besides sell the Bitcoin for dollars on the PayPal site, likely.
Yeah, by their standards, at their price, in their
time.
That's
right.
The Federal Reserve, even if you don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, the value of digital currencies, the Federal Reserve does. And they're the ones who make money.
Well, let me tell you what
they're the ones who enslave you, and they're the ones who enslave your unborn great grandchildren. Because at the United States,
I think you're giving the U.S. government a lot of credit for longevity that it doesn't deserve.
It may, maybe the United States government doesn't make it any further.
I hope it's
almost
done.
We can look at history, and we can see that a debt has been carried since the Andrew Jackson administration at the very most recent.
At this point, the U.S. government is the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a zombie
and
searching for brains.
If you wanted to be highly generous, you could say that the real debt began somewhere around the 80s. You know, somewhere around the end of the Vietnam War, somewhere in there, with the creation, with the change, when the Federal Reserve, when the rules changed regarding the dollar and decoupled from gold completely. And, you know, from that time, debt has just increased over time. And, I mean, you know, we're paying interest on the debt from the Spanish-American War right now, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when we were telling them to get a hold of some Bitcoin at $3,000 not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, they don't pay
attention. Or when we were saying it at $300.
$300 or $30.
Or $3.
Or $3. Yeah.
Those guys are crazy. They don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know if I was saying it at $3. I might have still been skeptical back then. I'm not sure.
It went from $1 to $30 down back to $1.
Mm.
And we were on that ride from up to 30 and then back at 1.
Mm.
And I recall having said when it was $1
to buy
if
in.
Bitcoin is worth $1, it's worth $1 million.
Mm.
And I still believe that.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I believe it for crypto as a general idea.
Right.
I'm not sure that Bitcoin BTC is going to be the currency that is.
It's not a currency at this point.
It's basically a store of value.
Yeah. That's what they're wanting it to be, and it's a shame because it wasn't always that way.
The thing is, Bitcoin didn't scale, which isn't the end of the world for it. It's still useful. And I think that the scalability problem will be solved with a whole bunch of parallel cryptocurrencies, so you don't have to worry about making one chain scale. You just have to worry about making them all scale when they're working together.
Here's a little prediction, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. We're talking about PayPal here. We're talking about one of the largest banks in the world.
It's not a bank.
It's not a bank.
Well, you can call it what you want. It functions like a bank.
How about a financial institution?
Fine. It's one of the largest financial institutions in the world. Mm-hmm. When they're dealing with you and you, Mr. Dry Cleaner from Poughkeepsie, you're accepting Bitcoin. It's your business. They're going to give you the lowest price they can give you on that Bitcoin without being called fraudulent.
Right.
And then when you go to sell it, they're going to give you the lowest price, that you can possibly get when you sell it.
It probably won't be that bad.
They're going to make it coming and going, though.
It might be 1% or whatever. It's not going to be.
Right. Make 1%.
They are the 1%.
Yeah. Make 1% coming and 1% going, and then people don't complain.
Yeah.
And you'll do fine.
By no means is that the largest complaint about this, that they can make some money on it. Good for them. I hope they do. Square Cash, or Cash App, as it's called, Square, the company behind that, has made Bitcoin its number one revenue source.
And it's hip to be them.
And I don't know if Square started with Bitcoin withdrawals. So they may have also started where you couldn't withdraw the Bitcoin and then changed it to where you could. Because now you can, if you've got a Square Cash App account, you can purchase Bitcoin and you can withdraw it from that system into your own wallet, which is the way that PayPal ought to do it. But for right now, as CTO of Casa, Jameson Lopp, says, it's not really crypto that PayPal's making available, but IOUs. They say when a household name like PayPal starts selling Bitcoin, it's probably not because they want to spur healthy adoption. They continued in their post saying, the only reasons to own Bitcoin, which cannot be used, would be to invest for the long term, which is incredibly reckless to do when your funds are held by a third party, or to speculate on its price, which again would be introducing the masses to financial mechanisms that they don't understand.
Well, nobody understands things when they're first exposed to them.
True. Ripple CEO Brad Garlinghouse admitted that it was, quote, great to see a payment pioneer leaning in, but noted further that it was, quote, disappointing that some fundamental tenets and benefits of crypto are spurned, unquote. He then pivoted to
you got to be able to spend. Maybe they're just going to use it as a store of value.
Maybe. But that takes away the point of Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Well, what it does allow you to do, from what I'm hearing here, is that you can take your Bitcoin and turn it into U.S. dollars through PayPal relatively quickly and easily. And
I would expect them to do that. Yeah.
Once it's on PayPal, then it can go to your bank account and then everything's fine. So I would expect you to take a hit in doing so. And it probably isn't going to be the cheapest way to turn your Bitcoin into USD, but it's going to be a way to do it. And that's a feature. I'm not going to call it anything else.
There's a chart over at coinmarketcap.com. It's one of these websites that kind of keeps an eye on the price of cryptocurrencies, various different ones. And you can, zoom in on different dates. So I'm looking at 2017, which was back when Bitcoin hit $19,000 for just a moment, right? It wasn't a very long time. So looks like on December 6th of 2017, the price was about $12,400. It then shot up to over $13,000, up to $17,000, and down again and back up. So looks like it was for a couple of weeks there. The price was above $13,000. So you basically only have about 2 weeks worth of time.
Was it 2 weeks?
Yeah, it looks like about two weeks from what I'm seeing here. Only
because
about
I know that the sort of the time frame from being from like 17,000 to 20,000 was just hours, right?
Yeah. Actually, it looks like more like 3 weeks because there was another week later where it still kind of held up above 13.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So, basically there was a month, less than a month's time where if you bought
in the 10 plus years of Bitcoin,
where if you bought Bitcoin and sold it, you probably are out some money.
Yeah.
If you're still holding on to that Bitcoin, keep holding, I would say. Bitcoin is on the move again. Priced at just above 13%, it is up 80% on the year.
Just above 13,000, you mean?
Did I not say that? 13,000?
You said 13%.
Thank you. $13,000.
Say the sentence again so I can, because I
got stuck. Priced just above $13,000, it's up 80% on the year. which is outpacing the year-to-date returns from leading equity performers in the S&P 500, including the most infamous FANG members. FANG, I guess, is Facebook, Apple, Amazon, whatever the N is,
Netflix.
In Google. Yeah, Netflix, probably. It, in fact, has recently surpassed mighty Amazon. Looking broadly at leading market indices, Bitcoin's performance this year is even more impressive. It's almost tripling the NASDAQ 100, which is up 32%.
Right. Everybody who's complaining that Jeff Bezos, how much Jeff Bezos made over the pandemic, had every opportunity to buy Bitcoin beforehand and do better.
And what did Aria say to do on the air? I mean, I don't make investment suggestions, but she said if you were going to get that $1,200 check, you ought to put it into to cryptocurrency and or gold. And if you had done that, you would have done better than $1,200 this year. So NASDAQ 100 up 32%. Well, Bitcoin has nearly tripled that. Additionally, it's outperforming the S&P 500 by 1,600%. While the Dow Jones Industrial Average remains in negative territory. The last time the price of Bitcoin was this high during the climb was during the climb down from the 2017-2018 crypto bubble that saw its price approach 20,000. While there's no guarantee Bitcoin will revisit that lofty perch anytime soon, industry insiders are cautiously optimistic due to the more gradual ascent taking place in 2020 rather than the sharp peaks and valleys from a few years ago. So it's been a more deliberate climb over time.
Yeah, but I mean, we've seen deliberate climbs, and then what happens after the deliberate climbs is people are like, this is the way to make money. And then people start buying and buying and buying, and mm-hmm. then it runs parabolic, yep. and then something happens and
it crashes.
It falls down again. Now, when I say falls down, when it falls down, it usually falls down to something several times whence it came. So yeah.
Anytime something is rising that fast, it's going to be a bubbly rise. There's going to be volatility on the way up. Nothing goes in a straight line because, you know, it's like the old thing. When the doorman in your building starts talking to you about stock, it's time to sell.
Yep.
Because the it's stock, oversold. Right. He thinks he knows something about stock. And
that
doesn't.
Actually happened to me.
Other big news in the world of technology. Google has been sued by the Justice Department, according to the story by Scott Shackford at Reason.com. This week, the Department of Justice, joined by governments of 11 states, filed an antitrust lawsuit against Google, in which they accused the internet search company of, quote, unlawfully maintaining monopolies in the markets for general search services, search advertising, and general search advertising in the United States through anti-competitive and exclusionary practices, unquote. Now, obviously, I have not read
that sounds bad.
The 64-page lawsuit that contends that Google owns or controls roughly 80% of the market. That's not a monopoly.
Nope.
If you have 80% of the market, that means that you're not a monopoly. A monopoly is the
mono.
Only. Right. Yeah. Mono meaning the prefix there, meaning only. There's a single provider of whatever product or service we're talking about. Are other search providers still in business? Yes, they are.
Yeah. So what Google perhaps is what they certainly are is a market maker is a better terminology for what they are. They are the search engine by which everyone else is judged by. Startpage protects me in so much as I'm not all of my searches aren't being profiled and, Google isn't putting together a big profile of me through Startpage. So I have that level of protection, but every once in a while, Google's just a better way to do it. So if, for instance, you search, converting metric to imperial, mm-hmm. Google's going to pull up.
There's a tool.
A tool right there for you.
Right. You don't have to click again. It's there.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And there aren't many search engines that do that,
no,
right?
It's nice.
Yeah. It's a bell and it's a bell or possibly a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you usually want to get the whole search engine thing down. I mean, Google has for a company that started out with a motto of "Don't be evil."
I think that came later. And then they got rid of it relatively
quickly.
Well,
they definitely got rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
They had it for a long time.
And did they?
Yeah, they had an underdog's attitude for a long time, as I recall. And they did a really good job. I think they did become quite evil in that I think they're a huge part of the media manipulation game.
64-page lawsuit against Google saying that they control roughly 80% of the market for search, 90% of all searches in the U.S., 95% of all mobile searches. And arguing that,
and the reason for that is not only do they run their own software for phones, Android, they also pay Apple to be their default search engine for Safari or whatever.
Have you read this article? Because that was the next paragraph.
I read articles.
Yeah.
It's kind of my job.
That was the next part of this particular. Well, I didn't know you had this one in your show prep. But that's the next point here that they're going to make, is that Google does have an agreement that has Google's search engine being the default in Apple's web browser. The lawsuit acknowledges that while iPhone users are free to change the default search engine, few do. About half of the lawsuit seems to be focused entirely on Google's dominance over the mobile phone search tools. Lawsuit also notes that while Google once prided itself as the turnstile to the internet for organic searches, its power to place advertising at the top of searches for those who are willing to pay money pushes those who aren't willing to pay down on the page of search results. Well, duh! How else are they supposed to make that work for people?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you don't know how Google works, you're not trying to know how Google works.
It also says advertisement or whatever, like right up there.
Right, sponsored or whatever it says right there.
You're either going to be the product, right, where Google mines your data, they mine you, they mine for information, and they make money off of that information, or the other company that would compete would be offering paid tiers.
Right. And there's Proton Mail out there. You can get, you can pay for email service if that's what you want to do.
I have Proton Mail.
Me too. And I use their free service, but I have bought stuff from them. I just don't like their mail as much as I like Gmail, you know? Right. And that's the problem, is Google provides some really good products.
They put a lot of development money into that stuff, you know? Going on. As a result, these organic links are being demoted. This also crowds out third-party advertising providers from Google searches. But again, Google isn't obligated to give third-party advertising providers any time or any, you know, display or anything like that. If they want to filter that crap out, they can filter that out. It's their results.
This is the same old saw that has been so useful for decades now, which is that basically what they're trying to say here is that Google is not recognizing your human right to email searches. And
no, that's not what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Google says they were expecting this, and they say that the Justice Department's effort is, quote, a deeply flawed lawsuit that will do nothing to help consumers. They say people use Google because they choose to, not because they're forced to or because they can't find alternatives. And by the way, this story from Reason.com.
I think they people use Google in many cases, not all. Google's a great search engine, if that's what you're judging it by. But in some cases, they use it simply because opting out is harder than opting in. Mm-hmm. And
well,
Google
because
is
it's
the
there
default.
By default. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, they pay for that.
Now, Android is another matter. Can you buy a phone that doesn't have Android on it?
You can have an iOS
Apple.
Phone.
Yeah.
You can. There are other phones. You could root them, too. So
you can root an Android phone,
But you've still paid for the software, even if you have to throw it away, even though you don't want it.
Sure. Unless you buy the phone on the secondary market.
Well, you're still paying for the software, you know, to the extent
it's
that
it's an overhead. I mean, but people used it.
But you're not incrementing
to the price.
But you're not incrementing the number of people who's paid for the software if you buy in the secondary market. If you buy a used phone, that's already been purchased by another person. It's not Google's obligation to return unfiltered search results. They're going to add in advertisers, and they're going to take out the things that they want to take out. And there are other alternatives out there.
That, to me, means they're a bad search engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you get to make your definition, right? If you want, if you're going to judge your restaurant based on how quickly they get your food to you, maybe McDonald's is the best restaurant in the world. Mm. I don't know. I mean,
what do you use, Nobody?
What do I use?
Yeah,
I use DuckDuckGo.
Okay, I've heard that's a good one.
Yeah, it has better protection, or it doesn't sell as much of your information. You know, you don't find that. You know, the Facebook ads for what you just searched for on DuckDuckGo Facebook doesn't start advertising to you what mm-hmm. you just searched for on DuckDuckGo, which is nice.
It is disconcerting.
Unless you're talking about it, because then the Google phone
will listen to you.
Picked it up and sent it off to the government.
Yep.
And that's another reason that I will be delighted if they actually take some action against Google, even though I don't believe that there should be antitrust laws. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of evil things about Google, and I don't mind seeing them getting a smack.
Well, I've been wondering, when is karaoke going to come back? You know, Mark, Nobody, all three of us have done a myriad of karaoke over the years here in Keene. It was one of our, I would say, favorite group pastimes. There have been a lot of times where we've gone to local watering holes and with, you know, a group of liberty activists, and many people would get up on stage. We even had karaoke nights at the old Keene Activist Center
yep.
on a number of occasions. So karaoke is near and dear, certainly to my heart, as something to go out there and do.
Nobody loves karaoke like you do.
And, yeah, we've all had a good time singing some fun stuff up there. And when's the last time karaoke happened in anywhere, let alone New Hampshire?
But karaoke's just too dangerous.
Well, certainly that's what they want you to believe.
It's amazing that they want you to believe that. I mean, not to say that I don't understand that they're now claiming that COVID, the CDC is now claiming that COVID's an airborne virus, you know, months after everybody already knew that. But I mean, ladies and gentlemen, there are jujitsu studios across America that have opened back up. Mm-hmm. If you can roll around on a wrestling mat and sweat into another man's eye.
You're speaking from experience.
Oh, yeah. I've had more than one drop of
blink
sweat hit me right in the eyeball.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.